This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver
Commercial
Real Estate Podcast.
Welcome back to the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast. I'm Corey Wright.
And I'm your sometimes host, Adam Scalina. And Corey, fantastic episode. Who do we got on today?
Today, Adam, we have Alan Haig, founding partner from Impact Commercial. As you know, every time we start off, kick off the year or the second half to the season, as we could argue after Labor Day now, we bring Alan and his team back on and we set up everybody for financing. Interest rates are dropping. Where's the economy going? Alan unpacks all this stuff for us. So we're so lucky that Alan back, fan favorite, comes back to join us to set us up for the fall season and where these interest rates are going and how that impacts us on the commercial real estate side of things.
And Corey, it sounds like we're obviously on a phone call here today. You were actually in the interview. I was supposed to be there on Friday, but I don't know if it's COVID or what, but I was sick all weekend long. So now you are remote. So we're doing this with you over the phone, but I haven't actually heard this interview. So it sounds like you go a lot of different directions though, and a bit of an overview of what's coming.
100%. Alan goes into where the interest rates currently are, where are they expecting to go, where it will happen maybe potentially down south with interest rates, unpacks how that's going to affect our loan to value as buyers and our leverage positions. Also, we put him on the spot to find out what markets and what asset classes he best would invest in moving forward. And where does this BOC rate kind of finish up? I think surprisingly, it's maybe a little bit lower than some people would have expected. So if that comes true, how that impacts us, commercial real estate 2024 into 2025, I'll unpack it all.
Fantastic. And Corey, before we get to this conversation with Alan, I just want to bring up one thing because I know you're way too modest to bring it up yourself, but a little bit of praise for the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast from a pretty reputable organization.
Yeah, we were very fortunate. We have a huge thank you to all 9 listeners that tune in every week for our CREI Summit down south. It's a big, huge company that produced a major list and awards for commercial real estate, but in the technology side, they actually came out and ranked, first time ever, the top 50 most influential people in commercial real estate podcasts in North America. And fortunately, we landed number 34 on the list and the only Canadians on the list. So we're with 49 counterparts from down south on this list this year. And in all the big major podcasts that people listen to, including myself, we're on that list. So if you're ever looking for some good information about commercial real estate, not just here in Vancouver, but North America wide, definitely go check out that list. Lots of great podcasts, lots of information. We're very fortunate to be part of it. We never applied for anything. It reached out to us. And we thank all the listeners and everyone that sort of contributed to give us that acknowledgement.
Wow. Only Canadian podcast on the list.
Only Canadian podcast on the list. I started thinking for a while, were we kind of like the token Canadians they had to add to this? Was it like a quota? Like, okay, all Americans, but we got to have one Canadian to keep everyone happy
right
there.
Yeah.
So we kind of fell into it, you know? So I don't know. But nevertheless, we ended up on the list. So we're very, very pleased to be on the list. And we've been inundated with PR companies contacting us with guests all of a sudden since that list went out last week. So I think my job's almost done for 2025, I think, now, with all the guests lining up for the next 16 months. You might not even need to be here. We can hit play, just let them talk, and we'll be good.
That's the problem with getting on a list is you end up on a lot of other lists, which are those PR, some of the lists you don't want to be on maybe, but PR lists are fun. Well, Corey, without further ado, why don't we cut to our interview this week with Al Haig. He is obviously a great person to be unpacking what rates will be doing in the fall market. And this is an interesting time to be monitoring.
Yep. Great episode. Al unpacks everything for 2024, 2025. Enjoy, guys.
This podcast is presented by Impact Commercial.
Impact Commercial, John, Alan, the team over there are fantastic. They've all been on the show.
They have, yeah.
Friends of the show.
Great guys.
Wealth of experience. They can help with all your commercial financing needs.
Whether it's owner-occupiers, land development funds, commercial investments, or multifamily, these guys got you covered.
And they recently obtained their CMHC correspondent lender status.
So for all your commercial lending needs, visit them at impactcommercial.ca.
That's impactcommercial.ca.
All right, we're here today again with our good friend Alan Haig, founding partner Impact Commercial. Alan, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing fabulous. Corey, how you doing?
Good, thanks. Thanks for joining us once again. And all, as we always do at the start of the year or the start of the second half of the season in our world, which is kind of coming off the summer, Labor Day is behind us. We're heading into that fall season now. We always bring you guys on to tell us what's going on the lending side. But today, rates have continued to slide down. Like, we've got lots to talk about. We need to unwind what's going on. So before we dive too deep into that, for our listeners that haven't heard you on the previous episode, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and also Impact Commercial?
Okay. Yeah. For those that don't know me, Alan Haig, founding partner of Impact Commercial. I was really happy to last year just sort of pass over the managing partner reins to Jonathan Switzer. It's been a great development, growth for Impact Commercial over the last 5 years with, you know, adding in great group of mortgage brokers here, supporting great portfolio of clients, leadership growth of all of our staff. Thank God the interest rates are a little bit, you know, lower now. So we're starting to do more construction, more income properties. So it's been, great, you know, evolution over the last year in regards to Impact Commercial and our clients.
Well, speaking over last year, obviously you guys have done tremendous growth and you guys are obviously well on your way. Over the last year, we've had what felt like the highest interest rates we were operating with in the past 40 years. So people thought they were coming down and then they weren't coming down. And then all of a sudden now we're on like a water slide here. This past week, we'll date stamp this for everybody. What's our date today, Al? We're first week of September, September 6th. This past week, our friends over at the BOC lowered the interest rates by another 25 basis points, three consecutive drops, all 0.75% drop over the past three meetings. Why? What is going on? Let's unpack this. So we obviously have these interest rate drops. What's happening at the BOC? Is this expected? Is it more than expected? Get your thoughts out.
This is entirely expected. So what we have seen, and I don't want to get too technical for all the listeners out there. There's two main big things that are kind of coming in, and one is lower inflation. Bank of Canada likes to see inflation at 2%. We all know that it did go up into the 7% plus range, years back. Now it's coming down, and there's a lot of clarity with the Bank of Canada that inflation is going to be hitting their objectives of getting closer and closer to 2%. So now that there is guidance on inflation coming down, is that they can not be so restrictive with their policy rates. Everybody knows that, to have economic growth is that you can't have restrictive interest rates. So the Bank of Canada is recognizing that not only is inflation coming down, but there's also some weakness within the marketplace from like jobs, GDP, all that kind of stuff. So they are moving finally. Some debate whether or not they moved too high in the past, and there's some debate that they're moving too slow now, but it is, coming down, quite nicely at this time. So inflation is coming down. They can now start to lower interest rates. One of the other wrinkles, and I tried to sort of explain this a little bit in the William Wright, recent mail out in regards to interest rates. And it relates to private sector prosperity versus public sector prosperity. And so where we are sort of thinking about is it's now coming, and it's quite clear to me, quite clear to a lot of others out there that the private sector is actually struggling right now. the public sector just seems to be expanding. It's actually competing with the private sector on for employment, driving wages up. But the private sector is starting to slow down, greatly. And so what we are seeing is the dual whammy of the Bank of Canada understanding that not only is inflation kind of getting down, but there is also some real big struggles in the private sector employment, private sector growth. And I think, Corey, you're sort of feeling that the same thing. It's just like, stuff isn't as rosy for a lot of those entrepreneurs, those developers, those business people as it has been in the past. So we're seeing the Bank of Canada adjust accordingly.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that. I think landlords as well. I mean, rates coming down is great. You mean the rate reflection, I think, you mean the lag that's people have struggled with these higher costs for so long. People are starting, I think, to feel that a little bit. We talked to a lot of landlords and seeing what's happening. I don't want to say you're hearing more defaults, but you're hearing maybe a little bit more struggles with tenants in paying rent sometimes. And even the expansion of it hasn't been maybe as fast as people thought with the rates coming down as much. So it'll be interesting how things play themselves out over the next 5 or 6 months here as we head into 2025. But getting back to the interest rates, we've come down 0.75 point right now. The BOC rate's at 4.25. We touched on a good point there. Were they too slow to react coming down? Were they too slow to react or too aggressive going up? What do we predict is going to happen maybe for the balance of 2024 and 2025 with respect to interest rates? Do we have more drops penciled in? Is that something we can bank on? Or what are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, 100%. We've got lots more drops kind of coming into it. So we are, expecting they dropped 75 basis points, 0.75%. And it's at 4.25. The general consensus, and as it always kind of is that the interest rate will fall down to 2%, kind of matches the inflationary rate. So we are expecting upwards of 2.25% reduction of the Bank of Canada's policy rate, provided there is continued weakness in with GDP growth, and provided there is inflation stays muted at the 2%. We think that both of those are still trending down, even another 1%. It's just there's this lag of timing that kind of comes into it. But we are fairly confident within the next 12 months, you could probably see another 1.5 to 2% of policy rate cuts. Immediate term is pretty much it's a given that the Bank of Canada is going to drop 0.25% at their next two meetings in 2024. So we are seeing at least another 0.5 point drop in 2024. So people are going to experience further dropping of their interest rates.
Now, for those listeners who may not understand, so if the BOC rate is say 2.5, how does that reflect on a bank's prime rate? Like, what does the bank add to that to kind of get a prime rate? Is there a number or calculation?
Yeah, it's a defined spread. I think it's 2.25%. I just know I need to double check that one there. Don't check it every day. 2.2 or 2.25%.
Yep.
So if you're looking at it, right now, what is our prime rate is 6.45, and the policy rate is 4.25.
So now a lot of these numbers, obviously, you deal with them every single day. We deal with them every single day, it feels like, especially over the past couple of years. How does that reflect from a borrower's standpoint? So I'm going to go buy a commercial building. I've got income in place. We'll call it a coupon clipper for that sake, which means that there's not a lot of lift on the rents potentially, but they're kind of secured at market for the foreseeable future. Maybe they got a good anchor. What type of mortgage rates are we seeing now in place with all of this sort of happening around on, say, like a five-year fix? What type of lending would I expect as a buyer from an interest rate standpoint on an asset like that?
Okay, so this is where thank God or whoever it is that we're seeing some declining interest rates because this is the biggest movement. Many of your listeners know that for most income properties, standard for a 5-year fixed term. That's what kind of happens in Canada. And so the 5-year fixed term for most mortgage lenders is 200 basis points or 2% above the 5-year Government of Canada bond yield. So as it stands right now, I'm looking at 2.817 is the 5-year bond yield. And you add 200 basis points on top of that. So we are now at 4.817 as an interest rate. So this is the fantastic thing about it. If you were to go back a year ago, Okay. And I'm just kind of going into it. Actually, it's not necessarily, it's October 2023. We were looking at that same 5-year bond yield was 4.342, meaning that at that time we were doing a 5-year fixed rate commercial mortgage at 6.3%. So within a year, we have gone from 6.3% as an interest rate on a 5-year to 4.8. So we're looking at a 1.5% drop in the interest rate for that over this last year. What that is that's incredibly well received by the market. It makes for more purchasers able to actually use their valuable equity, put it into a purchase of the property, get good financing, you know, at the 55, 60, 65% loan to value, and make deals happen. You know, a year ago is you just couldn't make those deals happen because you could only get a mortgage for 40% of the purchase price. So it's made a big difference. And I think you are going to start to see just more transactions starting to happen in the marketplace. You just get back to some normalcy. You know, speaking of which, I was chatting with one of our clients this morning who's an active developer on this. And, it's been a year and a half of nothing pencils out. It is now they're starting to see, some light at the end of the tunnel. And they're going, hey, like, this is looking good. I might start to do an income play now on this stuff. So we're getting, we're obviously optimistic that this may be the start of another, bit of a bull run for commercial real estate in Canada, with emphasis on the larger marketplaces.
Well, I could definitely tell you from like a brokerage standpoint, obviously August in our industry usually is kind of a slower month. People are, getting kids ready to go back to school. Everyone's doing like the last minute travel for the summer. But August this year from the brokerage standpoint was extremely busy, and that has spilled into September and shot out like a rocket. Now, I don't know if everyone's experiencing that, but what we've seen is so many people that were probably on the sidelines that could make numbers work are kind of like cascading back into the market. Inventory levels haven't really risen too much on our side of the business. So there's not like there's an abundance more to pick from that's drawing people in. I think as people are now looking at things, getting excited that now they can actually see deals pencil, as you mentioned there. And now they're going. So I'm very optimistic too that we're going to head into a tremendous fall winter season here with the lowering rates, because demand I felt has never been more, with people not being able to do deals for so long, but now everyone's trying to get back into the game all at the same time, it feels like. And we're seeing multiple offers on properties. We're seeing properties before that maybe were kind of stale or stagnant. Now we're getting activity on them because of these rates. You touched base there, Al, a little bit on loan to value. So Al, for our listeners there, how do we tie that loan to value into these lower rates? Because now we're starting to see transactions happen where maybe the price of the property hasn't changed much. The income on the property hasn't really changed, but now the activity is because rates are dropping and people are now finding a loan to value more attractive. Can we tie the loan to value and the interest rate together?
Absolutely. Okay, so this is where, when we try to explain it to new people, it's always nice to have them in a graph or a chart or Excel document so we can just walk them through. So for all the listeners, like if you do have questions about this stuff here and, listening to our, discussion or explanation doesn't really, sink in 100%, give us a call or send us an email, like touch base. We can sort of walk you through that stuff there. But what happens is that if you are, as an example, buying a property for $1 million and we have it as a 6% capitalization rate, which you again don't want to get too technical, but that what that is the property of $1 million will yield 6%, so $60,000 of income on that property. The lease rates aren't changing. We're just looking at 60 grand. Now, if you are at, say, like a 6.5% interest rate, is that out of that 60 grand, a 6.5% interest rate requires way more cash flow to support a mortgage. So in general, like if you are doing a 50% loan to value and it costs you, say, $45,000 out of that $60,000 to qualify for the mortgage, that's what you're stuck at a 50% leverage. If, for example, the rates go down, we're looking at 4.8. If they kind of get down to 4.5, that $45,000 of mortgage debt servicing can go and qualify for a larger mortgage. So your mortgage amount, instead of it being a 50% loan to value, can go up to 60%, 65%, 70%. It all kind of comes down to what is the interest rate on that. So what we are seeing is, like, in the past, when you're dealing a 6.5% mortgage, you qualify for 45 to 55% of a loan to value. At mortgages at like 4.5 to 5%, you can qualify, you know, for 65%. In years gone by, when we were at like 2.5%, we were qualifying for the max mortgage amount of 75% loan to value. So you could, in the past, you know, if you had that same $1 million value, and if it was a 6 cap, you know, you could get 750 grand on it. And sort of comparing it back again, don't want to get too complicated, but we've seen the gamut where we used to be at 75, then we went all the way down to 40% due to high interest rates. Now we're kind of coming back up to the 60, 65% loan to value, which just means you can, you know, get a bigger mortgage, less equity that goes into it. More people have, you know, smaller amounts of equity. You get more transactions happening on that stuff. And it's a great way for a lot of people to get in and diversify their investment portfolios outside of stocks and bonds. And I look at the stock market today and looks like it's getting somewhat crushed. So for a lot of people to diversify from an asset management standpoint, it just makes it much more attractive to get into commercial real estate when interest rates are lower.
So in a nutshell, if I have $1 million in my pocket and I can get a 75% loan to value, I could sort of leverage that $1 million up to about a $4 million purchase. And then if I get a 50% loan to value, I can leverage that million to about $2 million. Is that kind of putting it into?
You're exactly right.
So prices stay the same. My dollar is going to go farther now because the bank's going to help me a little bit more because my interest is lower.
100%. Couldn't have said it better myself.
There you go. That's simple. See, if I were to figure this out like 10 years ago, it would be a whole different story here.
Yeah.
So Al, one question that I have here is, obviously we're all talking about this increased activity. You guys are on the front lines of seeing deals come through. Have you guys seen a dramatic uptick maybe over the last 2, 4, 6 weeks with transactions coming through now that rates are coming down?
It's a great question. Now, in the market, and you know, most participants in there, the market's always choppy. Commercial transactions take a little longer to pull together than residential transactions. There's usually a 30 to 45 day subject window. There's usually a 30 to 60 day, you know, after subjects for completion. So throughout the summer, you know, most of our clients are generally away or are committed. So we have seen a few of those that are staying in town go under contract. And so we've seen some stuff. We are, and that's where, you know, transactions that are happening. That being said, we're just getting so many more clients reaching out to us going, hey, listen, I want to get set up with things. I want to, you know, dust off the stuff because they've been on the sidelines for, say, 18 months, 2 years. And so the amount of inquiries and reach outs that we are getting from our clients has increased dramatically. Is it relating immediately into more deals or more transactions happening right now? Is we've just started to see, you know, the trickle in over the last couple of months. What we are expecting is that, you know, more so probably in the, you know, February, March of 2025 is kind of where we are thinking that our you know, we're going to see much more uptick in transactions. And the reality of it is like, it's been like a very, like the last couple of years for a lot of people have been tough. Like if anybody that is borrowing, like, or renewing their mortgages, they are renewing at substantially higher interest rates. People have to get a little bit more confidence that rates are going to stay lower kind of going forward versus, you know, is this just a blip coming down and then it's going to go right back up? So that is what we're sort of seeing, is like clients are looking at reviewing what their current cash equity is right now. You know, what are the values of properties? Can we model out purchase financing options? And then it's going to be, you know, at some point, once they just sort of regain the confidence, the comfort of putting pen to paper, so that's what's going to, you know, that's what's going to transpire over the next little bit. One little wrinkle just to add on to this stuff here is that and we call it here, for those that are in investing, is we call it the risk-free rate of return. When interest rates are high, okay, the risk-free rate of return, you know, is quite high. As an example, this 5-year, you know, Government of Canada bond yield, if you were to buy a bond and you were to do it, let's just say a year and a bit ago, you're at 4.5%. It's now down to 2.8%. So people who have money market securities, people have GICs, is that they loved it. The rates were going up to the 6%. Those rates are now coming down. They came down to 5. They came down to 4. They're going to be coming down to 3 pretty darn quickly on some of those things. And if rates kind of keep going down. So these people that are sitting on cash and putting it into their savings amount's going to be, you know, their rates are getting cut in half over this last 2 years. So when their GICs come up, is they're going to have the option of, all right, am I going to go into a 3% GIC or am I going to move this into a real estate acquisition that I can get 5% as a yield on it? So we're also seeing, you know, not just from like a mortgage side, we're seeing it's just like if you have savings, the risk-free savings rate is going down and it's going to push people into, you know, diversifying out and trying to achieve a higher yield from real estate investing.
So now as we kind of continue on this trend, it sounds like there, do you think that there'll be more lucrative opportunities on the purchase side from a lending aspect? And by that, I mean, is lenders going to now potentially look at assets that they otherwise wouldn't have looked at with higher interest rates differently because we have a lower interest rate and the bank looks at it from a risk perspective that maybe we wouldn't look at a 1975 single-story retail building in a secondary market where now with the risks, with the rates coming down, that asset may be something that the bank would lend on?
Yeah. And so what I end up kind of more doing it is like a lot of the lenders, and I'll just sort of break it down into the banks because they really dominate the Canadian landscape for commercial lending just because they're the biggest. Is over the last sort of 2 years, 3 years, is that the amount of transactional volume that has happened within the banks is obviously moderated quite heavily due to higher interest rates, lower transactions. A lot of the construction facilities, you know, that were done, they've been run off quite a bit. And so portfolios for banks, again, banks are owned by shareholders. They want profitability. They want dividends. What they are seeing is like they've seen their portfolio moderate. There hasn't been a lot of growth. There hasn't. And so some of them have even seen portfolios shrink. And nobody wants to, no shareholder wants to see a portfolio shrink, because that impacts the profit. So what we are now seeing is like a lot of the banks are reaching out to us going, hey, listen, we're looking to grow our portfolio now. We're looking at certain asset classes. Everybody is kind of likes the beds and sheds still, which is just multifamily rental and industrial. We are starting to see more and more, in the past, retail was like a four-letter word, but more people are coming back into retail malls because they are the experiential part of retail is sort of making a resurgence. Like it used to be Amazon, and Amazon is still there, but retail distribution is kind of critical. We're even starting to see, you know, a little bit more land start to kind of come into it. So, well, again, I don't want to sort of get distracted, just sort of more coming back into it is like lenders are looking to lend these days, and they are looking to, to different asset classes because, they just want to lend a little bit more than what they have been lending with lower interest rates. All things being equal, is at lower interest rates, their portfolios don't have quite the amount of delinquency, right? Like when you're at a, in the past, we had rates at 2.5 and they shot up to 6.5. You start seeing spikes of delinquency, bad loans, all that kind of stuff. Now that they're coming off, is like those previous loans that may have been delinquent, they're now getting back into, right sizing it or they can do some stuff. So we are starting to see, again, just more lenders looking to do into it. And that sort of hits banks. It's hitting a bunch of our credit unions. It's hitting our capital groups. So we are starting to see a lot more activity, a lot more demand for putting, good assets, even moderate assets, onto the balance sheets of the lenders.
I'm just doing some fact checking here, Al, while you're speaking here. And I just wanted to sort of just reconfirm that the William Wright report from Q1 of this year picked return of retail as your best investment dollar. And I think we echoed that here on the podcast. So just doing some fact checking along the way.
You would know, you've seen that, the return. I certainly would want retail over office any day, all day.
Yeah, no, I think one thing too is like, you look at the retail sector coming off of COVID still, and we're kind of there. I understand the hesitancy. One thing I always, tell people is, and this is no disrespect to appraisers or bankers at all, but historical data that they go off of is just that, it's in the past. It's not forward-thinking data. And as an investor, you necessarily want to buy low, sell high type of thing. So if industrial's at a peak, that may not be where I want to go just yet. But if I look at retail where I figure it's on the upswing, I can get in cheaper now, have an exit at a higher price later, that's where I want to go. So we've always been telling everyone, like, don't necessarily look in the past, look forward, because we're on an upward trend right now. And retail's obviously seemed to have a really, really good year. And I think 2025 is going to continue to have a really good year. Those people looking to invest. Al, one thing I'm really curious about, where is Al putting his money today? Like, obviously, you're on the forefront. You're seeing where deals are coming from. You're fielding the phone calls, a level of interest. Lenders are telling you, hey, we like this market. We don't like this market. Where's your money going?
Okay, so I would sort of say it's just like, similar to a group of individuals out there, I'm a little bit more risk tolerant than others. So I always like to put the disclaimer in there. We at Impact Commercial, we work with conservative investors that just like what we call a coupon clip, which is an existing income property with long term stable triple net tenants that they don't need to worry about it for a second. They receive their cash and they are good with that. So we have that. We have others that are a little bit more active. And what I would consider myself is I'm a little bit more active, than the average person, and that is because, calling it what it is work with a good group of advisors that are forward thinking. And so, for me is I've seen the supply of industrial is kind of a little bit high right now. The absorption is being a little bit temperamental. And so I'm kind of shying a little bit away on a temporary basis from industrial. The multifamily rental, I'm shying a little bit away from that. Like, I love the multifamily rental, but the problem is we're still dealing with the recent announcement of maximum 3% growth on existing rents, which, if your costs are going up 5-6% and you're only can increase 3%, it's a bit of a challenge. Your income is going down year over year with the rental.
One question I'd like to ask, I don't mean to cut you off here, Al, but I just want to throw it in on the multifamily section. I'd love to ask the province, if they took their own personal money and you invested in a company, and we're going to make the assumption the vacancy rate is very low in multifamily, so there's not a lot of turnover in these buildings right now. Would you invest your money in a business that only saw a 3% top line growth maximum, yet your bottom line, yet your expenses grew between 8 and 12%? Is that an investment they think they would make? The answer would be no. So
yeah.
I understand it is housing and I get all that stuff. And I understand the why the regulations are what they are. But if you look at all the other markets out there, Seattle was a prime example. You take away those rental restrictions. And yes, you are going to have short-term volatility with those rental rates. That is going to bring more supply, which is the problem we all suffer from, to the table, and you're going to fast forward 3 or 4 years and you're going to slowly start to get more of a balanced type market, because now the private sector is going to go build these homes that people want and not be told how much they can charge or how much they can raise that, because the rents, property taxes, insurances, garbage, recycling, repair and maintenance costs, elevator repair, everything is just going up at a far greater clip than what the rents are. And with the vacancy rate so low, none of the units are getting turned over. I was telling people, don't do this. Like, don't invest here because your returns are going to be diminished, because we're going to control those. So I'd always love to ask the question to the province, like, would they put their own money into that sector? And I think the answer is no. So I just wanted to air my 2 cents out of there before the province is probably going to audit me now, but just wanted to share my 2 cents. Keep going out.
Well, no, and that's a valid point. Like, it's a lot harder for smaller investors, even the lower end of the mid-size investors, to really do a great business on the multifamily rental. Okay. Multifamily rental is, again, love the asset. Lenders love it. They'll just hand over fist lend to it because it's so low in vacancy and stable with income. But from like an investment standpoint, it's not the easiest, to turn a buck. Okay. So moving on to some of that stuff, you guys know that, office is not something that is something on the radar. And so what we are, what I am looking at is, I'm looking at the retail stuff. It is one of those aspects where, it's not the sexiest of investment. But you know what is, it's like the more that I talk with people, it's just the more that experiential shopping is, yeah, and especially for the younger generations is really, really critical. And so that's sort of where, you know, I'm looking at it. I also am a little bit more comfortable with secondary markets. You know, I don't really invest in anything that is, say, less than, you know, 50,000, 75,000 in population, simply because I had some mentors in the past that, you know, and, you know, when stuff happens, and if you want to liquidate something, it's tough to liquidate an asset in a smaller market because there's just a smaller pool of potential buyers. Where, you know, if you want to liquidate something in, you know, downtown Vancouver, there's pretty much a buyer, you know, on the shelf at all times.
Absolutely.
So it's just kind of that secondary market, 100,000, 75,000 people and to like sort of like 250,000. It's kind of like a perfect little, you know, market. It's also, you know, sometimes, you know, because we're in Vancouver and we have the sophistication of working with Vancouver clients and you go to a secondary market, maybe there's a little bit of lack of sophistication that's on there. You know, you deal with the little bit lack of organization on that side, but sometimes there's opportunities come up and, you know, you're not negotiating against a bunch of sharks. You're negotiating against, you know, somebody who knows what they're doing, but, you know, maybe a little mismatch in information and you can, you know, you can largely try to get a, you know, a well-priced, you know, asset. And so that's sort of where, you know, I'm looking at it right now.
Couldn't agree with you more. Like I said, we obviously preach these secondary markets where I think there's just tremendous opportunity. And as these rates lower, I think that opportunity is only going to become that much better heading into the future. Al, as you always know, before we let you go, we got our six pack of lighthearted questions we get to ask you all the time. And I literally had to like custom make this list for you because you've been on the program so many times. We have the Al six pack. Do you have a few more minutes for us, Al?
I have a few more minutes for sure. Anytime.
The six pack is powered by our good friends over at Red Point Law.
Red Point Law, Corey, Tim Falco, Scott, and the team. These are great people with a wealth of experience when it comes to commercial closings and private lending. And I just want to say, Corey, not to cut you off, they have a perfect 5-star review on Google.
So for all your commercial legal needs, visit them at redpointlaw.ca with offices in Vancouver and now open in downtown Kelowna. Awesome. Awesome. So our first question, Al, we're getting past Labor Day now. You can't wear the white jeans anymore. We're heading into fall. Who's going to win the Stanley Cup this year?
Oh, man. Oh, man. That is a good question. I'm going to go with the Oil. Right? I got to go with those guys there. I don't want to see Florida win another, out of the last, six cups, about four? Tired of seeing the sunny state of Florida, no tax state, taking the cup home too many times.
Gotcha. So we're going with the Oilers. Second question up, Al. It's Friday today. Yesterday was Thursday, which kicked off the NFL season. Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
Oh man! Again, I don't follow the NFL nearly as much. But is Tom Brady still playing? I just want to know: is Tom Brady still playing? Has he come back out of retirement? I'm not 100% sure.
If he does, you got to go with him. Like, love him or hate him, the guy's got almost more rings than fingers now. Like, how do you not bet against that guy?
100%. You know what? I'm going with the nice big underdog, and I don't know what necessarily is an underdog, but I always love these kind of these stories. And so there's Brock Purdy on the 49ers. Let's go with that guy.
49ers. Okay, Al. Third question up. We're staying with the football theme. What musical artist is going to play the Super Bowl this year?
Haven't a clue.
Oh, man. I'm going. I would thought for sure you're going to say Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah. No. Is it going to be a Swiftie concert?
I don't know. I think the NFL. I was reading a story, and I think this is accurate, where the Chiefs were waiting for the last minute to submit, I guess, their dates to the NFL for their schedule. Obviously, there's a timeline they have to submit to the NFL. And apparently, they were waiting to the absolute last minute before they were going to submit their availability to it because they were waiting for Taylor Swift to get her international tour dates sorted out before they submitted their availability, probably in hope she can show up at the games like she did last night. Because I couldn't imagine the viewership and all the eyes that gets having Taylor Swift at a game versus not having Taylor Swift at a game.
Yeah, 100%. And also, Travis Kelsey there as well. Like, he's only got a few more years, I think. Yeah. So KC has got to be going aggressive to try to get it to another Super Bowl. So it makes sense. What a great marketing tool for the NFL.
No kidding. All right, Al, fourth question up. If I were to grab your phone right now and logged into your Spotify or Apple playlist, what song would I be listening to?
Oh, geez, you know me. I'm a Pearl Jam guy, man.
Oh.
I'm always going to be having all that stuff there, right? Like, it's just like, so it'll just rotate through all my Pearl Jam favorites.
Okay, Pearl Jam, Daughter. Daughter's on there, obviously. That's my personal favorite. Al, next question up. A book recommendation for our listeners. And we kept that question consistent for you there just because books are always changing. Do you have a new book recommendation or a latest book recommendation for our listeners?
You know what? I always love these book questions and I know I should be reading more, but I'm actually, it's just like, you know, you get the three kids and yeah. It's so disjointed in trying to read. So I'm respectfully going to take a pass. Like, here's my thing. I just spent, 2 weeks, out of the office. I had to go for a buddy's 50th in Toronto, small trip with to Mexico, back, had to drive to Calgary, drop my oldest off to University of Calgary, she's going to the School of Business there. For those of you who have families, it's not always the easiest to try to find the time to, stick to a book. I know I should be better, but I just read a whole bunch of stuff, online. But I got to do a better job of reading the books. It's definitely something that needs to happen.
Well, that's what podcasts are for. These great little half-hour segments you can throw in once you're coming from North Vancouver. All right, Al, last question up. Your predictions for the balance of 2024's commercial real estate market. What's going to happen?
Great question. I think we're in like a short-term feel-out process for the next month. I think it's people want to see some stability, maybe a little bit more consistency with some of the economic data. So I think we're going to be relatively stable for the next 30 to 60 days. If the if GDP comes a little bit lower, if the jobs start to soften up there, I think what we are going to see is bigger interest rate reductions by the U.S. Fed and the Bank of Canada. And I'm very much targeting the U.S. Fed because the U.S. Fed is moving the markets. Like for the last 2 months is that, when the Bank of Canada reduced interest rates is that, when the Bank of Canada reduced their policy rate, the five-year fixed rates didn't really adjust. When there was a sneeze out of the U.S. market is we saw a 10 basis point or 0.1% drop in the five-year Government of Canada bond. So what we are seeing is like it's going to be dependent. But if we start to see, a 50 basis point cut by the Federal Reserve, I think what you're going to see is a repricing of, we're going to be looking at some high activity come November, December, January, February, where people are going to start to redeploy their money into, real estate assets. So I think we're at this little, Malcolm Gladwell always had it, like we're at a tipping point. And I think we're at this tipping point over the next month to 2 months where weak economic data is going to cause a further repricing of interest rates, which if there is that stuff, it's going to be incredibly bullish for commercial real estate.
Awesome. Awesome. Al, how can all of our listeners find out more about yourself, Impact Commercial, where they can get some commercial money from? Tell us more how they can find you.
Well, you can find us. We're not that hard. Impactcommercial.ca. Give me a buzz on the cell phone, 604-999-2265. Check us out on our Facebook page, Instagram, Twitter. Sign up for our monthly newsletters that we send out to all of our clients just to give them a quick snapshot. Yeah, just reach out. Don't be shy. We deal with all sorts of clients from, the first timers all the way to the most experienced that are out there. We've got a great team here that can basically handle any and all inquiries. So for us, it's part education, part delivery, part relationships. So feel free to reach out anytime.
Well, Al, thank you once again for joining us. We're kicking off the second half of the season here as we head into fall. I know you're a busy guy. We appreciate it. So do the listeners.
You got it. Good luck to everybody coming for this next 6 months, a year. Chat with your advisors as we do think that it's an excellent time to switch up your assets, get out of cash, get into long-term assets such as commercial real estate. So yeah, this is for me, making myself as liquid as possible to get out there.
Awesome. Thanks once again, Al. We appreciate it.
You bet, Corey. Always a pleasure.
All right. Take care.
there you have it, folks. Our interview with Alan Hague, managing partner, Impact Commercial, setting us up for interest rates and financing 2024. I always walk away from those interviews, always taking in new information and finding myself walking with information that I thought I knew, only for Al to prove me wrong.
Yeah. What I mean, this is the thing. I mean, I feel like right now there's a general consensus we might see as many as 2 more rate cuts this year, right? And a lot of economists are saying, you know, are quite confident that will be the case. But the verdict is still out where we're heading, right? In terms of how low rates are going to get. And I mean, a lot of people, obviously the economy has to be pretty bad for rates to be really, really low. So it's that question of balance and where we're going.
I'd be curious to find out on your side, do you find buyers on the residential side are jumping back in now that the rates are continuing to come down? Or do you find maybe people are sort of somewhat holding out still a little bit with that kind of like, how low can we go?
Well, that's what it is. It's a combination. I think smart money right now is getting off the sidelines and saying, look, I can maybe carve out a pretty good, decent deal. And, you know, one strategy would be get a decent deal on a place right now, have a longer closing, and try and capitalize on potentially 2 more cuts this year. So I think smart money is definitely going that direction. But you're right. It's funny that now that there seems to be a lot of confidence that there's going to be consistent cuts coming, there's always going to be people that say, well, you know what? I'll wait a little bit until money's cheaper. The challenge with that, though, is when do we get to a point that the market takes off? Because if you wait too long and interest rates come down, a mortgage broker that I follow who puts out really good content, his magic number is 3.75. Once we kind of hit like the 3.75 number, that's when we're going to see a lot more activity in the market. But that's really the question is, you can wait, but if that herd mentality happens and everybody jumps back into the market, well, maybe now you're competing for everything and you're in a worse situation.
Well, that's a great point too. And you think so many people that will also kind of try to like time the bottom of the market, which in this case sounds like interest rates. To your point there, interest rates may come down, but you end up might be paying more for the same property if you wait too long with it. I've always been of the thought pattern there. If you have a long-term or medium-term vision for real estate, whether it's commercial or residential, I mean, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 here or there isn't going to really pencil too much when you're looking at a 20, 25 or 30-year amortization. Get in sooner than later, because if you get back into that competitive situation, you might end up paying more for that asset and then it pretty much eliminates any interest rate gain you thought you had.
Exactly. So Corey, if people want to get in touch and talk to you about interest rates or anything going on in the commercial market, how can they get in touch?
They can reach us at our Vancouver office anytime, 604-428-5255. They can send me an email, corey@williamwright.ca, or they can visit our website, williamwright.ca, and sign up for the latest and greatest information.
Well, that's great. And so many great episodes coming this fall. Good to be back in the studio and have a great week, everyone. We'll see you soon.
Great. Thanks for joining, guys. Take care.
Subscribe today.